Welcome to Declaration Church Online. We are so glad that you've joined us this morning. Our prayer is that you are deeply encouraged through Pastor John's message and that God would move in your life in a powerful way. God is doing big and amazing things right now in and through our church, and we would so love for you to be a part of it. Before we join the service in progress, I want to share a few quick things with you. We would love for you to interact with us at facebook.com/declarehim. And if you would like more information about all things Declaration Church, please visit us at declaration.org. Now, as we join the service, I would like to say, welcome home.
How are you? I'm imagining that you're wondering why I'm wearing this helmet. What do you think I'm going to talk about? Anyone want to take a guess? What sport? Cricket? There's a true international man of mystery over there. No, and it's not baseball either. Nope. Clearly, I got this baseball helmet this morning at Walmart because I wanted to talk about football. And this is what happens when God wakes you up at 1 a.m. and gives you a very specific word. So I had this whole thing planned out message-wise, and then at 1 a.m. the Holy Spirit just woke me up and gave me this one thing that I had to do. And then I'm sitting having coffee with my mother who lives with us at 5 a.m. and she then says, now, you know, you gotta have a prop, right? So my parents were friends. We used to live right down the street from Corrie ten Boom, and she taught my dad how to like speak and preach, and she said, you always have to have an object. So you will never forget this moment. And I think the blood is not circulating quite as well. It's kind of tight. It said like one size fits all, and I think they grossly underestimated the size of my head. But we're going to get into this in a second, and why we have that helmet. So I love that video. And by the way, I'm Michael Smalley, and thank you for clapping earlier, but you're not going to want to do that after you find out where I have been, because I have just gotten back on Friday from Oahu, which is why I'm wearing a shirt that is pineapples, sunglasses, palm trees, so I could rub it in your face with blue pants and I don't know what color that is, fuchsia socks. So we got to minister to the Marine base, actually, on Oahu. And speaking of Marines and the military, they are my favorite group of people because the ones who are saved and know Jesus are still really inappropriate. So it's like my kind of crowd. They're the kind of guys, and I know Officer Sage knows what, because in that, there he is. Everyone look at him. He's got a gun and a taser. So he and I always goof off before service in really horrible, inappropriate ways. And I guarantee you there was a name in that intro video that made you pause and made you chuckle. And it was that Professor Stoner. Did anyone else catch that? Really? On a Jesus video, you just got to change the guy's name. You cannot stick with Stoner because then all the little ADD people are stuck on Stoner. And then we start going down a whole road of drugs and alcohol and all sorts of stuff. So, well, this is one way to introduce this morning. Yeah, Jacob, he left. Probably a wise decision. So, okay, we're doing this mixtape series, right? And who was it? Jeff was up last week, right? Who is anyone here for that? And does anyone want to say what, like, his main thing was? Anyone remember? Truth and grace. Nice. You remembered. Well, here's what I want you to remember next week. Because the word God woke me up with this morning for you, and I really mean this with all kidding aside, I really did wake up at 1 a.m. and I was sound asleep and just went, guard your hearts. And that was the first phrase that came out of my mouth. And I thought, what? Why am I waking up saying, guard your heart? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, this is what you need to hear this morning. So all the prep work you did and, you know, the notes and, you know, Jacob's so kind to get everything up is out the window. So All I want you to remember is guard your hearts. Because, out of curiosity, has anyone been wounded or had their feelings hurt in the last 7 days? Anybody? Really? I would assume everyone has. Who has actually done the wounding? I have. And then all of us get wounded, and we get wounded a lot. And guard your hearts, I feel, is one of those statements that it's like that Christianese, you know? It's like we say it, but I fear that many of us don't really understand what it means. But I got distracted when I started talking to Officer Sage about Professor Stoner. And, you know, tomorrow is Memorial Day. So that is a day, don't forget, it's not just about barbecue and pools and laying out and stuff. That's really a day that we're going to remember and honor those who have died in service for our country and the freedom that we have. So if you are currently even serving in the military, we really do honor you and appreciate you. And if you've lost anyone, we are remembering them with you tomorrow as well. And we should all the time. So the phrase is guard your hearts. That's the one thing that I want you to take away and remember from today's message. And what does it mean to guard your heart? Does anyone have, you know, I like interaction, so does anyone have an idea? Like, what is it actually, you know, it's one of those Christianese things, right, that we all know and we've all heard and we all say it, but does anyone know, like, how do we do that? Because a lot of times it feels like we take that phrase as just an emotional statement. Don't forget, guard your heart. And we just kind of go, guard our hearts. We got to guard our hearts. Make sure you guard that heart. But what does it actually mean, and how do we guard our hearts? Anybody? It's kind of weird, actually. Because guarding our hearts is protecting us. It's a helmet for our soul, for who we are, that thing that goes with us after death, that continues living. If we're gonna put a helmet on, I wanted to do a football helmet because I never played baseball because I was terrible. So this is my fake football helmet. But why do we have a football helmet? Why do we have helmets at all? To protect the really important areas, right? Like an umpire, he wears, you know, he's got the helmet and the face guard, and he's even got the breastplate, and he's got other, you know, baseball players have to protect all sorts of areas. Right? In football, kind of the chief one is the helmet. And we even have them now in baseball. We're super obsessed with concussions, right? And sort of the brain injuries that we're finding out that occur when we're not well protected, or even if the equipment isn't very good, which this actually seems like a pretty protective helmet. Why do we do that? Because we're trying to guard and protect the thing that is most important. The thing that is most important to you, by the way, is you. It's who you are. It's your soul. It's your heart. And so we got to guard it, but many times we have no clue on how to guard it. And the reason that I started with this video is there is just no middle ground when it comes to Jesus. He is who he said he is, right? He's not a cool dude and a nice, you know, a moral teacher, because the problem is Christ made over 171 claims about himself as quoted in the New Testament. So like Jesus was not shy about going, yo, I'm God. Like I'm the Messiah. I'm the one all the prophets have been talking about. And so we cannot escape who Jesus is. So some of you here this morning, you don't even know why you're here, and you might not even follow him, and you might not even know what we're talking about. And you hear us going on about small groups and, you know, the video, and then the guy comes up in a baseball helmet, and you're, it all starts with your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the most important thing, because we can't guard our hearts without that relationship to Jesus. And if you're kind of questioning, and this has like been the weirdest Sunday for me, because I feel so strongly that I need to talk to someone who doesn't know or follow Jesus yet. So this first part is for you. But one of the things that has helped me personally in my own faith and my own walk and relationship with Christ is the sheer fact of what his followers and disciples did, right? So Jesus made all these claims. He's not a wackadoo, right? He is. He was risen. There's eyewitness accounts. There's historical facts. These things are not debatable in my mind anymore. But what's even more important for me are what did his followers do upon his death and resurrection? How did they behave? And if you look at the life of the apostles, these are the folks, these are the men and women who walked with Christ and who finally believed, right? When he was risen again, they were like, wow, okay, so you really were talking about this. Because there had been a lot of different Jews in the past that had tried to claim to be the Messiah. And Jesus is the only one that ever actually ended up being so. But when you look at the followers of Jesus, it helps for me make it unquestionable that he is who he said he is. Peter, big time, church was built on Peter's shoulders. And everybody agrees that Peter was crucified. Origen, a historian, says that Peter felt himself to be unworthy to be put to death in the same manner as his master and was therefore, at his own request, crucified with his head downward. Jesus is who he said he is. James, the son of Zebedee, put to death. Jesus is who he said he is. Andrew, crucified. Matthew, died a martyr. Thomas, died a martyr. James, Alphaeus, stoned to death and brains splattered all around. Jesus is who he said he is. He is worthy of praise. He is worthy of worship. He is worthy of following. And it's only through Jesus that you can guard and protect the thing that is most important to you. Because the thing that does the most damage on your life is your heart. It's the wounds that you carry. This morning is about those wounds you carry. The wounds caused by your parents, by your mom, by your dad, by your sister, your brother, your spouse, your ex-spouse, your stepkid, right? We get wounds. And when those wounds go unaddressed, right? When we don't guard ourselves from those wounds taking our life over, and it happens, by the way, because of unforgiveness, bitterness, unresolved anger. That's sort of the product of not guarding your heart. If you're not guarding your heart, you're miserable. It's just miserable. Existence, the very act of existing, is miserable when you don't guard your heart because you're going to get wounded. This world is not perfect. Stuff happens. Things that are unexplainable, things that we do to ourselves through our own destructive behavior, all these things can damage our heart, so we can't ignore the importance of guarding it. I think, so let me give you maybe a healthy understanding of what does it actually mean to guard your heart. To guard your heart, how you go about in doing that is actually pretty simple. It's obedience to God's commands. That's how we guard our hearts. But what's so scary is most of us don't know the commands that Jesus gave. Therefore, we are pretty ineffective, unskilled at guarding our hearts because we're not paying attention to them. We're not dwelling on them. We're not implementing his commands into our everyday life. And therefore, there's a bunch of us running around with unguarded hearts, a bunch of football players going all out, and we don't have a helmet on. We're in the game of life, and we're not protected. That is so important for you to hear this morning. Is if you are going to guard your heart against the inevitable pain and suffering of this world, then you have to start immediately learning the commands of Christ and then implementing them to your life. And one of the things that hit me this morning when I was like, okay, so Lord, why is it guard your hearts? Actually, on the drive here, I was thinking, you know, now I got to find an object and thank the Lord. I always leave early because I'm neurotic about getting to places early. And I was to the Walmart here by like 6:30 in the morning. And walking around Walmart in the sporting goods section, just trying to think, how can I illustrate this idea? But as I pulled into the parking lot at Walmart right down the road, the word forgiveness just came flowing over me. And that is perhaps the most important command in Scripture, command that Jesus gave over and over and over again, is to forgive. And one of the really wild things, like this has been a super weird morning, obviously. But as I was pulling into Walmart, and I totally forgot to get the lyrics of this song. So I'll have it for second service if you want to stay just to get the lyrics. But as I'm pulling in, the Holy Spirit is like, forgive. That is the most important command that I want you to highlight today in terms of how you are able to guard your heart. Right as that word hit me on my music, on iTunes, the song from Crowder, Forgiven, popped in. And it is such a beautiful song. The lyrics are very powerful. And too bad I didn't, you know, remember to get that for you. Oh, did you get it? No. Well, come on down. She's like, I didn't know you were going to make me do that. That was so cool. Thank you. That was very thoughtful. You could have made the font bigger, you know. Just kidding. I will. I'm pinching. All right. So let me see the chorus. Forgiven, forgiven, child. And this is it. This is the whole point. Child, there is freedom from all of it. Say goodbye to every sin. You are forgiven. See, guarding your heart, thank you. Guarding your heart is being obedient to the commands in Scripture. All right? Well, when I am obedient to the commands of Scripture and I'm implementing that into my life, so it's not enough. Are you paying attention in the orange? Just kidding. He was. I had to do it. I don't know why. His wife was whispering sweet nothings in his ear or criticizing him. It could be either one. I don't know. But the key, it's not enough. It's not enough to know him. It's not enough just to read them. It's not enough to study them every day. You gotta do them. That's where freedom comes. It's not in just knowing the commands. It's in knowing and doing, right? I can, coach can give me, and actually my head really is oversized. It's gigantic. And they had to special order my football helmet every year. That was a shaming experience. Because the guy would come and I'd know. Every year I'd know, I'm not going to have one that'll fit me. He'd go, wow, none of these fit. And then they'd have to special order it and I'd have to wear a really tight helmet for a while. So if coach gives me a helmet, I go, hey, thanks, coach. And then I go running into the game. Is the helmet any good? It's totally useless. That's the point about his commands. It's useless in your life. And it is not going to guard or protect your heart unless you not only take his commands, but you put them on awkwardly. Yeah. Can I have an amen for that? It is not enough just to know them. You got to do them. And that most important of all these commands, I think, in guarding your heart is forgiveness. Why? Why is forgiveness so important? Because forgiveness is releasing that hurt, the wound that was caused on your heart. It releases that. It hands it back over to God because, hey, the biggest wounds of your life, the ones that are genuinely difficult to forgive, right? The ones that you're like, you know, simple, small offenses. That's, you know, anybody can do that. It's the real meaningful, deep, sometimes long-rooted scars that have been festering since childhood and that you think to yourself, I will never forgive that person for what they did to me. That only comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ in knowing him and following him and doing what he says. Because when you know Jesus and do what he says, you get the power, the gift of the Holy Spirit who's going to wake you up at 1 a.m. on the day you're supposed to preach and completely change your entire message. But that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit comforts you in times of trouble. The Holy Spirit guides you when you're confused and you don't know what decision to make or what path to take. The Holy Spirit holds you accountable. I, when people come to me, so my wife and I have a marriage ministry called the Smalley Institute, and we're also, you know, helping John out here at Declaration. And when a spouse is describing despicable behavior of the other one, right? Just really bad, bad, despicable behavior. Usually I'll, first question is just quite simply, well, did your spouse ever claim to know Jesus? And if they say yes, then I know they're in trouble. Because the Holy Spirit is not going to let you get away with it forever. He is going to do what he promises to do, and that is to hold you accountable. And to break any spirit of pride or self-centeredness. And man, you're going to feel it. If you knew him, you got the Holy Spirit. And when we're really misbehaving, he really interjects. And so John 14:6 says, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. John 6:63, and this is so big. The Spirit alone gives eternal life. And this is kind of wrapped into this idea of guard your hearts. The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing, nada. And the very words I have spoken, that, underline that if you're on your, highlight it. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. His words are not simply informational. His words infuse spirit and life into the hearts to those who embrace them. His words empower those who pattern their choices and behavior according to their instruction. All I'm trying to say right there is his words empower those who do what he says. That's it. That's where the spirit and life comes from. Listen, when you feel, and I want to put that next slide up, when you feel drained, inadequate, depressed, or even lifeless, chances are very high that we are not spending time focusing upon the words and teachings of Jesus and applying them to our life. It doesn't mean that if you choose to follow Jesus, then, you know, it's like an if then, right? If I follow him, then everything goes great. Well, no. It's if I follow him, then I am infused with spirit and life. So that when the hardship comes, I am, what? I am guarded. I am protected. When the tough times come, and you're either in them, just getting out of it, or it's right around the corner. That is why it's so important this morning to get this idea of guarding your heart. And guarding your heart simply means obeying his commands, because his commands, like the command to forgive, that's where the freedom is. And if you're at a place this morning that you don't even want to hear this, we're about to go into kind of a time of response, and I'm just going to beg you to come to one of our prayer partners or elders, our prayer team, and share that. And you don't have to say specific, but you need to just go, I'm just not guarding my heart. Or I cannot forgive this thing. Because that's where it starts. That's when you are now beginning to hand that wound over to a God who cares. A God who loves you deeply. A God who loves you so much that his hands and feet were pierced. That's guarding your heart, is giving that over to Christ. Let Christ defend you. Have you ever thought of that? We get so defensive, especially when we're being called out on our own junk. Right? That's when we really get angry. Or we super, super angry when someone else is also doing our junk, and we hate that, and that's probably why you're so mad, by the way. Because it's what you're guilty of yourself. You want to follow him. John 8:31-32, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus made three life-changing promises to his followers, but only to the followers that abide in his words. What does it mean to abide? Well, to abide means to stop and dwell in his words, living in the midst of his words, eating, drinking, and breathing them into the very fabric of who you are. It's abiding is that action. It's living in those words. You take them so seriously that you incorporate them into your daily choices and behavior. Did you hear that? You incorporate his words, his commands, into your daily choices and behavior. Hey, on that day, I want to be really crystal clear about this. On that day, upon your death, you get to meet Jesus face to face because he's the judge. And you have no excuses. Well, yeah, but my parents, I know. And you wouldn't give me access to that. Well, yeah, but my wife or my husband did this. I know. That broke me. But you never gave me access. And frankly, do we even know him if we never put on the helmet? I mean, do we? I don't think we know him in the way that he wants to be known. He made three life-changing promises to his followers who would abide in his word. One, you will be his true disciples. Woohoo! Can I have a cheer for that one? You will know the truth. Yeah. Hey, thank you. That's the only believer in the room. And the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. We got like a whole chorus over here. I don't know what's going over here. They didn't have coffee. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up because now I'm going to let you respond in two different ways, actually. So as they're coming back up, first response is you can put my cell phone number up there. That's my number. So let me make sure. That'd be funny if I mistyped something. Nope. That's it. So, if you are interested in knowing Christ better and really starting, and maybe God's convicting you this morning that, hey, you don't know my commands, quit goofing off, then I have created like this because I'm a total nerd when it comes to design and graphic stuff. I have problems. It's like a self-care thing for me to design a brochure. I don't know why. I'm not very talented at it. But then the internet invented Canva. And now I can like really do cool looking things. So I get so distracted, it's terrible. But I actually created a whole thing with all the different scripture references to Christ's commands in the New Testament. So you can, text me your name, and then I will text you back a link because I couldn't figure out any other way. I was supposed to give Jacob the thing, I got too lost. So honestly, if you want to dive deeper in Jesus' commands, because you're wanting to put on the protection, right? Then text me and it's just a simple little PDF that has the script. You're going to have to do work, by the way. So I'm just putting the scripture references down. You're going to have to like look them up in your Bible app. All right, but I really hope that you text me. And you can text anytime, day or night. When I go to bed, I put it on Do Not Disturb, so you literally cannot disturb me. Even if you are in fact disturbed and wanting to disturb me, you can't, because my phone won't allow it. Kind of like guarding my heart in a way. The second response is I'm going to ask our prayer team and any elders and spouses, if you would mind just coming up and just being the side maybe, and you can even be standing in the back, up front over here. But here's the time where I want you to be able to pray with someone. Let somebody be the hands and feet of Christ for you. He uses us like that. He'll use us to encourage you. But we can't if you don't respond. So we're going to continue worshiping. And I just, again, want to encourage you, guard your hearts, because your hearts are worthy of being guarded. Lord, thank you so much for declaration. Thank you for your sacrifice. And God, I don't know who it is that you had this word for this morning, but I just ask in the name of Jesus, to the power of the Holy Spirit, that you just empower them to respond this morning and to let us pray with them and encourage them. Because God, at Declaration, we really are family. And that's what a healthy family does. As we do this life together, we encourage each other, and we remind each other of what you did, Jesus. And it's all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, this is Pastor John. I want to thank you so much for being with us today for Declaration Church Online. I want to encourage you, we want to be your church family, and we'd love to connect with you. If you want to reach out to us, say hello, maybe send a prayer request, or just share a testimony of how God is moving your life, you can do that through declaration.org/connect. Also, man, God is doing some incredible things right now. If you'd love to join the movement and find out all of the vision that God is pouring out in this church right now, go to jointhemovement.org. You can give to Declaration to be a part of this mission through declaration.org, or you can text the word declaration to 77296. Man, we hope to see you again, either in person at the campus or online right here. God bless.